Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Astrologer and the Alchemist. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm the astrologer here at the options of The Astrologer and the Alchemist, and we are out there in the world and having a wonderful day. I'm waiting for Jemaja to show up, technology being what it is. Well, hopefully she arrives and gathers with us. So we're working the year 2022. It's a new year. It's a new approach. It's a new energy. Hi, and Remo's howling here. Hi, you want to play with your toy? You want to be my co-host today? Come on. Come be my co-host. He's had breakfast. He was just playing catch the ball, but I'm busy, so I'm not playing catch the ball with him. But he's a happy guy. Right? You're a good guy. So we're waiting for Jemaja to show up. I'm not sure where she is. But we've got a forward motion into 2022. Lovely, lovely new energies this year. So our overview for the year is a great deal of, we have a great deal of new beginnings and new options, starting new stuff. We've been working on what our next chapter is. And this year we truly put it in form and launch. Remember, after a pandemic or a war, there's a renaissance, there's a rebirth. And last year we kind of worked on figuring out what that structure looked like and how we were going to work with it and what it was going to be. And now that we've done that work, now we really start the true building. In a couple of days, on January 8th, there's going to be a Sun-Venus conjunction in Capricorn. It's called an interior conjunction, because Venus and the Sun are between, Venus is between the Sun and the Earth. And so in her format there, between the Sun and the Earth, she's starting a new 8-year cycle. And I just saw my little Capricorn friend arrive. Hi, Jemaja, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm feeling like Capricorn this morning, too. How you doing? Happy New Year, man.
So I said I'm waiting for you. And Remo co-hosted a little bit. He was like, he was playing with the ball happily, and then he started talking. So I'm Ann Ortley.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Ann Ortley. I'm here down in Florida, overlooking Boca Ciega Bay, and my friend Jemaja is.
How you doing, everyone? I'm in Harlem. Mm-hmm. Not overseeing anything at the moment. Harlem, from New York.
But it's cold up there, right? Didn't you have snow yesterday?
We had snow. Not a whole bunch, you know, but we had, I'd say, significant, you know, a real snowfall, more than a dusting.
Like
3 to 5 inches here, and my sister said they closed the schools out in Long Island ahead of time. I think they had close to 8 inches, yeah. But our new mayor said, no, we're staying open. So, you know, I mean, he's, bless his heart. I feel when you're new in a post like he's in, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know. So he made made the right call. I think he made the right call. You know,
it's for most of the kids, it's subways or, you know, their schools are within, at least the grammar school kids, their schools are nearby, right? So the older kids sometimes ride subways to the specialized schools. But, yeah, you know, it's kind of like being the substitute teacher, right? So you come into the class and you go, now I'm going to be tough. Everybody's like, what? What do you mean no snow day? What do you mean no snow day? So
he had to
step up and go, no snow day. So I was saying, you know, we're going to be a little more regular in 2022 because we kind of took the month of December off. But yeah, it's because this is a big year now that we finished the pandemic, and we finished, you know, pandemics and wars often break apart things, and then there's a rebuild and a change. So last year was our getting our positions in place for the rebuild, and now we're entering into that. We're entering into what are we building next? What's the renaissance? So really, we're going to be talking this year about consciously building. What is it you're trying to do? Using the tools of astrology and alchemy. So what do you see in the year ahead? You know, what are your thoughts about what's coming next for us?
You know, I think we still are having to face our the ghost of Christmas past, ghost of pandemic past, if you will. So I'm not feeling that we're quite through. We've made it through the eye of the needle, if you will, and we've made it, we've crossed over, jumped the broom. We still have some sweeping up to do, you know, so
yeah.
Sure, it's when I'm, and I'm sensing that, you know, while we have physically moved into 2022, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, especially spiritually, I'm not sure if we're here yet. And
mm-hmm.
also it takes time, energetically, for all of our bodies to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So when I
mm-hmm.
take a lot of energy work classes, as you know, and at the end, I didn't want it, but my teacher, Lorraine, was great at saying, we need to catch up the rest of your bodies. We need to integrate because, yes, your spiritual body, we've been working on that body and getting it, you know, souped up, and you're learning how to connect and activate and initiate at a higher energetic level or frequency. But now we need to bring all the other bodies into resonance. So
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking along those lines that we still are bringing the rest of our bodies into resonance
mm-hmm.
It's even a better example would be as I'm learning more about astrology, as you know, Anne's on one level of astrology and I'm on the other level. So I'm learning about astrology in a deeper way now, and I'm realizing that it's almost a Gemini look. In other words, the two faces, one face is looking backwards and one face is looking forward. You know, so we're having that energy right now. It's okay. So we may be a little bit split right now, you know, I think some of us, because we're like, oh, I want to be here 2022, looking forward to stuff. But, man, I have a few things that perhaps I quite didn't deal with fully, or I'm not finished with, and that's okay. But remember that it's okay to bring all yourself together to deal with what you're still bringing forward and what you're in now. So give yourself a little time to integrate. And because, you know, I'm not sure, Anne, I know you realize it, I realize it, and a lot of our listeners do, but do we really realize how much we've been through in the last 2 years?
I know.
It's been a momentous time. And,
mm-hmm.
I think our souls are saying, give me a minute here to catch up. You know, we've been going the full tilt over here, so we're keeping up. I floored ourselves with keeping up, but it's sometimes I don't feel as if I'm totally keeping up, and I'm like, oh, am I all together? Am I firing on all fours? But I cannot if I'm not operating on all fours yet. So
right.
But to answer your question in a different way, I think I do feel hopeful about 2022 as it leads into 2023. So this is, you know, again, it took 2 years, a couple of years of the paradigm sunsetting, if you will. It could take a couple of years for the rebuild also, you know, the visioning. So say that again.
What the new chapter is, because it's shifting so much. And the other thing is, you know, Jupiter went into Pisces this year, right? It went in on December 28th. So Jupiter is in the last sign of the zodiac, and but it's one of his favorite signs, right? And because he rules Pisces and Sag. Now some people go Neptune. I'm like, yeah, but before Neptune was discovered in the 1800s, Jupiter ruled Pisces. So he's at the wrap-up of 12 years, but he's wrapping up. Pisces, of course, is the sign of the dreams and
mm-hmm.
or the spirit. So when you were saying, okay, now we have to catch up our spirit body to the changes that we've had, you know, and of course, certainly our whole systems, our whole way of thinking and looking at the world was disrupted worldwide, you know, with the pandemic. So now Jupiter's in Pisces. He'll be there till mid-May. And in the old days, when we didn't have heat and electricity and all that stuff, this time of year was very much an internal, in the Northern Hemisphere, an internal time where we would do the poetry, we would do the art, we would do the needlepoint, we would sit by the fire and dream. So the dream part, the first half of the year is totally about that dream and integrating
mm-hmm.
that spirit body, you know. So I think one of the things, you know, Jim and John and I talked last month about what we were going to do this year, you know, in terms of the programming and, you know, how we're going to do it. But one of the things we're going to talk more about is, you know, exercises and things that help you ground. But Jupiter meets up with Neptune, which happens once every 165 years, and that union happens in April. And, of course, the last time it happened was in the United States. It was right before the Civil War, and that was when they were settling around. That was when they were settling around with the Electoral College, and now we see a lot of settling around with the right to vote, right? So that's part of the story, and a lot of the state legislatures passing laws, and then the two laws in Congress that they're trying to pass. So, and voting rights is an important component. You know, everybody that's an eligible citizen should be able to vote.
Absolutely.
Make it hard. Right. So we're working with that. We're working with the dream of what and this is definitely a little America-centered, but for all of us personally, but we're also working for what the dream we want our country to look like, right?
Yeah.
And that Neptune, that Neptune Jupiter, which happens once every 165 years, and then every 12 years Neptune is in Jupiter. So if you think back, everybody thinks back 12 years to 2010 and what they were thinking about and working on then, you're now dreaming the next chapter. So the first part of the year is all the dream, and then Jupiter goes into Aries May, and he says, okay, what's your outreach? How are you connecting to your community? Because Jupiter is a lot about how we connect to our, it's our relationship planet. Everybody in first grade has, your grade at school has the same Jupiter. And we're leaving the year of the ox at the Chinese New Year. Is Chinese animals are based on Jupiter. We're leaving the year of the ox, which is harnessed, plowing in the field, and we're going into the year of the water tiger at the end of the month.
The water tiger, yeah.
The water tiger. So we're going to have a whole shift in our focus in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. This month is the setting it up. And then watch out, here we go, let's roar. and Jupiter really does talk to us about that bigger picture. It's our relationship, it's everybody in our grade at school, but it's how we relate to the outside world. So in Pisces, which he's been in since December, and he was in it in May and June earlier this year, where we were told, hey, you know, you can go out and have a summer of love and everybody's going to be happy. Take off your masks. And, of course, Gemma and I were both like, no, take them off. We're not done yet.
Exactly.
But now we're kind of like, all right, you know, we're learning to live with the pandemic. We're learning to live with the snow. We have a new mayor in New York. We're learning things. But we're also dreaming things. And this is... Our point now is we're going to be talking, like Gemma just said, we're going to be talking about how do we integrate our spirit into all the physical changes that have happened in our reality, right? And they keep talking about the year of the resignation and everybody quitting. And if you think about it, like you have a hurricane, you go home,
right,
and you look at the house and you go, am I going to rebuild or am I going to quit this and go do something else?
Yeah.
So we all had a hurricane in our life in the form of the pandemic.
Excellent metaphor.
Yeah, he blew up
like
our
that.
Structures, and now we're like, what are we gonna do? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's spot on, Dan. Spot on, exactly. And I think we have experienced a hurricane, a storm in our lives, in our collective past. You know, I mean, the whole globe has. So, and because I consider the United States like ground zero as far as because we have our Pluto return and, you know, we are who we are in this current epoch. The United States is the central focal point of a lot of things. So that's why we're experiencing we're the trial balloon, actually. You know, we have, you know, we've started our democracy, we're doing this, we're trying things. So we're the actual lesson in action and trying to work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you call it? On-the-job training? We're on-the-job creating and on-the-job living. And so now we're at a junction of, okay, do we want to move forward? How do we want to evolve? So, you know, we're always evolving, whether it's up the spiral or downwards, or we're doing a flank, you know, kind of thing. So I think we are now at a crossroads, which I'm confident, and I'm not sure, I wonder how you feel about it. I'm confident that we'll amongst all the huster and bluster from the Republican Party and those who are saying, no, democracy doesn't involve everybody, which I actually say only involves certain people, I believe that we'll prevail. I believe that the great experiment will prevail. We just had to adjust our ingredients and adjust who's doing leading the cook, you know. Even in alchemy, right. You don't want every alchemist giving you the pills, giving you the potions. That's going to be much too weird. We've entrusted the wrong alchemist, I think, you know, so.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that it is about is that quiet fortitude. You know, I had a brain shift earlier this month, or actually I guess that's December now, where, you know, I used to be getting really mad about the people not being vaccinated and, you know, the lack of, you know, whatever, and listening to science. And, you know, I had a mem last night as I went to bed on Facebook, you know, if you're arguing with a scientist, and you're not a scientist, you're kind of stupid. That said, scientists discover things and figure out stuff, and as they figure it out, they share it. And that's part of what the process is we've been observing, watching this COVID, you know, come across, that we've all been in a giant science experiment, and I'm not talking Bill Gates and nanochips in your head. I'm talking the understanding the process of consciousness, like, oh, wow, we have this. Oh, wow, look at what it's doing. Oh, wow, let's try this. Oh, let's try that. And, you know, as we've moved along, certain people have fallen off the wall. And, you know, the vaccination, you know, I was raised in a medical house, and I appreciate my father always said, we do not know how the body heals itself. But what we do know is we have to create an opportunity for it to heal itself and provide support for its healing, right?
Yes.
So I was upset, and I thought, well, no, these people, you know, who are choosing to be unvaccinated really are choosing, you know, it's a little bit of Russian roulette. They're okay. It's okay for them to play that game if they want to. That's their option. My option is to focus on my knitting and say, you know, this is how I'm going to play my game. And I think that is one of the big focuses is, okay, let me focus on my stuff and what my contribution is going to be. I can't really worry about them other than to say, hey, you know, there's this thing here you could avail yourself of. If you don't, of course, that is your choice. We all have free will. And I think one of the things that I've been really noticing is what is our free will to do it or to stand in that space. You know, and we have this thing where everybody's talking about alternate realities. And I'm kind of like, you know, looking at the January 6th court, you know, the Senate. You know, and the only person from the Republican side that was there was Liz Cheney and her father.
Yeah.
And I was really struck by that. I was really struck by that. I mean, Adam Kinzinger is having a baby, so he was in Chicago, but waiting on Daddy Alert. And I'm sure he would have been there. There would have been three of them. But that was really telling to me that, you know, we're not playing with you the way we used to. And so we need to go, okay, you're not playing. We got it. But you're not taking away what we have. And they all were in it. They were all in the thing. And they played them saying that having the reaction to people attacking your house with guns and knives and pitchforks and wanting to hang the vice president of the United States. And, you know, and I think there was an interesting story that Doris Kearns Goodwin told about back in the slave times, where these three guys from Congress came in and beat the living stuffing out of a pro-abolitionist and a slavery guy from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And two guarded him, and the other one beat him up with a cane. And then people went with the cane beater. They gave him canes. They approached it, and they also said, it's, you know, right and wrong. Like, we're in a real argument or a real focus on what is right and wrong for us. And I think that's part of our mission going forward. What is it we are looking for in our lives, you know, and really holding that stand and saying, this is what I believe is right and true. And I think one of the things that people know is if it's not right and true, very often, you know, their truth has a quietness to it. Truth has a solidness in it. There's a core value when you're listening to something and somebody says something and it's true. You go, wow, that's true. It kind of resonates on a different level. It's like a bell ringing inside of your body. And not true has a whole different energetic feel. And I
Absolutely.
Think this is the time for us to work for true and not true. You know, so that was a little bit long rant. Sorry about that. But I had this revelation, and I haven't talked to you. I was like, I gotta tell Jemija this.
You know, and what you were saying was so good, because I think that's why we have that group that, although that mindset that says I'm superior, it has to be my way, they're very loud and boisterous and violent. So that there's no truth to it. There's no foundation. It doesn't have any legs. You know, so that's why they have to lord it over, take over.
Yes.
You know, because they can't.
They have to lord over you.
They
have power over you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and threaten people. You know, that's why. You know, if you don't agree with me, then you're not for me. Or you know, you're not for the country. No, that's not it. So that energy is coming up so big for us to see. So we're very clear. One, that it exists and that it's active, and that it's actually, you know, we have friends and family members and coworkers and other people who believe that way. And also the hard thing is that we may not be able to, individual ability may be limited in ways to help them shift. Just like you had your shift. You know, and I had to shift this past time off because everyone's had time off after the holidays to sort of regroup. I think that the ability to shift, one, starts with an openness in your spirit and an action in your soul to be that way. But it also may not necessarily involve another person rubbing your mirror. In other words, it really is an inside job. So while we can all provide my aunt used to always tell me, my aunt was very religious and spiritual, and she used to say, you know, it's important that you know that it's okay. Some people will come along and toil the land and make, you know, and roll it till the land, get the land ready, and some will plant the seeds. Some will water those seeds. Some will tend and some will see it grow, blah, blah, blah. In other words, we may not do it all for one person or one issue. And I think right now it's those of us who are wanting goodness for our country and goodness for each other and trying to envision a better life for our country, our cities, our state. We're clearing the land, you know, and having to break open the land. The land is breaking open so it can then be recultivated, if you will, because we have a lot of bad weeds growing right now that need to be removed so they don't strangle the good plants. Before you replant the seeds, you try to remove those weeds and those plants that can strangle and take over everything. So we're in that phase right now, and it's not my favorite phase to be in, but it's a phase that involves a lot of hard work. But during that hard work, I don't know about you, man, but when I'm doing that kind of hard work, I get clarity. You know, I think you have, like you said, you get clarity in purpose and what our contributions can be. And they could only be good contributions if we're clear and have done our own work. Then we're more effective in helping the greater collective, the collective do their work. So I know for me, the quiet time, that I've had people call me and text me saying, how come you and I, Ann, aren't doing your show? How come I'm not doing my own thing? I said, because I'm clearing out some weeds. I have some stuff, you know what I mean, that I need to clear the land a little bit. From 2020 and 2021, so I can then be more effective in 2022.
And, part of it is there is a need to do that space, do that shift, do that, you know, what is it I'm looking to change in my life and why, more importantly. And when we're clear on that, we're clear on what we're looking to change, there's a lot more functionality because we've done it. And really often, and I know you in your spiritual practices, one of the places that you get that clarity of what needs to change is by sitting quietly and by saying, okay, let me sit quietly and tune into this and understand what's really going on here, you know, in that quiet space.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the asking of why, you hit on it. I actually was asking, I mean, it's because of that quiet time when I can spend time with what I call my counselors, you know, literally my better angels. And I asked, well, why, you know, in other words, I didn't have the answer to the why that I wanted to do certain things.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I was like, you know, that's a good point. I was like, I couldn't answer that question on why and then what. So I couldn't get any of that out. So I spent time and it would come up to me in my dream space or my, you know, that morning, that time of when you're coming out of your sleep, the twilight time when you're not quite awake yet. I tell my sister, you're not even sure if you're a human, but you get consciousness. You regain consciousness, and you're like, I know, I think I got a body here, but I'm not sure. But you're still hovering about above your body a little bit. You know, you're not sure. You
right.
definitely don't know what gender you are, what race. You don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But you're starting to, your mind, your soul, your consciousness is clicking. You know, and so in that space, when I have that, I just lay still a little bit, and that's when those pop-ups come. Those questions either asked
right.
or answered. Or they just come up for this is the opportunity for the day. I don't. That's so much the challenge. You know, someone came up with this one thing. I had a smoking shop not too long ago. Oh, it was a while ago now. But, and this lady. I know. I was at this place called Texan Company here in Manhattan, and they moved into a nice, lovely space, and they have all these games they sell, and it's sort of like a Hogwarts space, right? And
mm-hmm.
having coffee, waiting for a friend. And this young lady was in there, and she had she was tutoring two younger people. I mean, not kids, but they were kids, but they were like 12, 13. And
mm-hmm.
she asked them, so what was today, tell me what your rose was today. What were your roses for the day, and then what were your thorns?
Oh,
and
I like
said,
that.
Oh, that's fabulous. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I was sharing
mm-hmm.
that with her, so, you know, she said, ask her, you know, she said to me, look at your day, make sure you count the roses, and then look at the thorns, you know. And stuff. So, you know, for me, I had to sort of, like, you know, in my review, because I was sort of doing a little cranky thing. I don't know, when I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. I want to change certain things, and stuff is not coming together, and, you know, boom-de-la, boom-de-la. And I said, okay, so you sound like you're having a thorny patch. But, you know,
right.
above the thorns are the roses, you know.
Yeah.
So let's go up to the roses.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so I think there are many of us right now who, I don't think I'm alone, a lot of us are sort of in that space of, you know, making those shifts and those transitions and asking those questions and take your time with that because it's getting the land ready, your land ready for, your spirit ready for the next step, like you said, the next level we're all taking, so... it's deep work. It's good work, but it's
mm-hmm,
work that can't
mm-hmm.
be done fine. You know, it has to have its time. You know.
Yeah, it has
so,
to be done in its own time and space, and that's an important
yeah.
component for
yeah.
all of us to work with. Like, what's the time and space for this new chapter? And
yeah.
we're not on anybody's schedule but our own. That's the
that's
other part.
So important.
Part of.
Yeah,
yeah, well, part of the whole thing with the trauma, right, that we've all gone through, because
yeah.
we have all gone through trauma, and we saw
yeah.
the congresspeople and senators talking about it, what they went through, right?
Yeah.
There's a healing that has to happen after the trauma is worked out. So that's the
right.
space. Like, okay, what's
yeah.
the healing? You know, what's the healing that we're going to have from this? Yeah.
Yeah. And that healing is going to, and there's two things with that, you know, well, there's two things that come to mind readily is that for individuals, let's, you know, be a little careful on what you see others doing on social media because I think some of us are feeling like, man, some people are coming out the gates, coming out the blocks pretty strong, and I'm still I'm still stirring stuff in my pot and finding the
yeah.
right ingredients, you know?
Right.
And then,
mm-hmm.
And to realize that everyone's healing has its own potion, its own flavor, its own process
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And sometimes, I know I've experienced sometimes where other areas, you know, I'm experiencing this right now as I've learned some parts of astrology, and some parts I get like, boom, there, got it. And other
mm-hmm.
times, I need to hear it over and over again, and I'm not
right.
a little slower on the uptake, you know? And I would get impatient with myself and say, what's wrong with me? You know, and this is not because of my age. This is just, I realize this is something I've had, but I'm realizing,
right.
Oh, okay. So that's why certain things you heal with, or you move through faster, you move through certain situations, and others may set you back a bit. And that's okay. You know, just set back a bit and, you know, and work it out, you know, in its own time. So that's something that's very important in the healing process, in the understanding of healing.
You know, right.
You know, I was having lunch the other day, about a week or so ago now, before we really had the Omicron really overtake New York City a lot. And I was talking to a couple of guys that I know, and I said, one of the good things that we're talking about, the, you know, the double, he mentioned something about a double-edged sword. And I said, yeah, I forgot what that was about, but it was, I think it was related to pandemic. And I said, you know, oh, but I think about education and the kids and stuff. And I said, well, and then we went into mental health issues. And I said, I think what Omicron, what the pandemic may help us all realize is that mental health issues are not just something that someone else has. Oh, they have an issue, and they, you know, whatever, they have a therapy, but I don't have any issues. I think we're realizing that mental health is as equally important as our physical health. So when we're talking about health care in this country, you know, we really just can't sort out, okay, you need to get your shots and both blood pressure checked and heart checked. No, everyone needs a little time to be, to have their spirit, their spirit checked, the emotional body checked.
Yeah,
and I said that may be the other side of the sword. I think this pandemic has brought it out that we all realize, like, wow, we have some, you know, mental health is something that we all are grappling with every day, and it's come up so much more now because we all had this period of extremeness, if you will, you know.
Yes. Right.
And
it's completely true. Completely true.
Yeah.
And an awareness. You know, a real deep awareness of how it works.
And so it made me move, hopefully, it's removing the stigma is being unpacked, too. It's not, you know, it's like no more stigma of having a heart trouble or high blood pressure or whatever else you got, you know, than it is to have, like, a depressive episode or someone might have anxiety issues or whatever it is, you know, that all of the bodies experience, the physical, the emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies all experience challenges. And not all at the same time, and not all in the same way, you know.
Right.
This is good, you know. And for me, that's been the takeaway, you know. In my little gift bag from the pandemic, I think that's what I'm talking. You know, my little swag bag. I thought it was a little empty, but I said, no, I got some swag in here.
He's
just gonna look for it.
My happy place. Thank you very much. Right?
And you know, and a lot of people are retreating to the happy place, or they realize that they have one, and that's why we have the great resignation. You know. Because people are saying, no, I can still, nothing wrong with good hard work or working, but does it have to feel like you're going to the old plantation every day? No, it shouldn't have to feel that way. You know, we've been there. We have to go to the old plantation.
That was part of our reality. Part of our reality.
It was.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a choice. Everyone had to sort of like, whoa, go in there and roll that boat. And then, and, you know, I remember telling a colleague, and I said, I know that this is going to change. Now, I know also I'll be retired, but I think there'll come a time when we won't have to cleave to FaceTime. In other words, you got to be at the office, and you got to be there 5 days a week, and you got to, if you want to get promoted, you got to work 8 days a week. You know, and we'll start seeing that there's an importance to work-life balance, you know? An importance. That's even been diminishing. It's a necessity. So that's how we all burned out and drugged out in this country. You know, come on. There's a better way. And right now, those of us who are alive and at the sound of our voices are hearing this and getting an understanding that we're the ones who are toiling, tilling the land for this, this new age. This would be something the kids are talking about in school in years from now, saying, you guys used to work like that? What kind of life was that?
Why did you work like that? What was that? What were you thinking, you know? Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Totally.
You know, people mm-hmm. go to debt to go to get an education, to go to debt to get an education.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. So I said, you know, so I said, we're living no less barbaric times than the barbaric times. It's just different times, you
right.
know?
Right.
And
yeah.
I think we're having the awakening. Or, you know, that people are starting to wake up and say, wait a minute here, you know what I mean? Do we have to do it this way? And,
yeah.
And
yeah.
answer it, no, we don't have to do it this way. The good news for us now, like you would always say, our job is now
mm-hmm.
seeing, really weave that new dream. It may not be clear, but start allowing that energy to come through for what can the new way look like and be like, you
right.
know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So, because there's a quote, I hope I can find this quote, but let me summarize this quote. And I think this was, I think it was my guy, Socrates, or Socrates. I heard this guy call him Socrates one time. I never forgot that. But anyhow, Socrates, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it, but it was like, in other words, don't spend so much time on taking down the past. Put more energy or more fire, more eggs in the basket of building the future, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we know that this energy that we have, this current paradigm has to come down. And, yes, we have to work on taking it down, but put more energy. Just take it down. We know, you know, when you knock down a wall, you're not putting all that in. Just knock it down. Take it down. You're
right.
actually visualizing how you want the house to look, you know, what you want to build there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to remind myself, because I would get a little too focused on the takedown. I got to be honest with you. You know,
the takedown does catch your attention, you know. But it's also... I think part of the energy of it, I always am reminded of one time I was in a course, roll a film a day class, where we had to carry our camera and shoot a roll of film a day and develop a picture and develop the contact sheets and bring it to class the next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm on a bus carrying my camera, and there's a I'm in the back by the door. I like to sit by the door, right? I like, you know, because nobody sits next to you. The door that you exit the bus on. So there's this guy getting off the bus, and he kind of makes this little commotion, and it's kind of weird, and the energy of it's weird, and then there's another guy in the middle, and then there's a third guy in the back. And then, there's, you know, they kind of make this commotion, and they stop getting off the bus, and then they get off the bus. And then the bus driver yells at me, and he's like, why didn't you take a picture of them? Why didn't you take a picture of them? They're pickpockets. And I went, what? What? And he went, they're pickpockets. They just picked that man's pocket. And I went, wow. And so energetically, you could feel the distraction. You could feel the distraction. But I didn't know what was going on, but I actually saw it. And so I turned around, and, of course, they're on the street, and the two guys are going in one direction, and the other guy's going in the other. And I'm like, oh. And you saw the pickpockets had the wallet. And I went, wow. And so what we want to watch is the distraction energy.
Yeah.
And when we feel it's wrong or we feel it's energetically something, look a little
uh-huh.
deeper, because it's the pickpocket. That distraction that allowed the guy to steal the money, because the other guy was distracted with the guy who appeared to have gotten his foot caught in the door, but he hadn't really.
Right.
He was just causing the distraction, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and we just saw Peter Navarro testify, and he wasn't sworn, but he was on TV, saying, yeah, we had a plan to sweep the election, but those damn people caused it. They didn't let us do it. They staged an interruption. Right. The Capitol riots were an interruption, so we weren't allowed to steal the election the way we wanted to. And I remember him talking about it, and I'm like, wow, so the Capitol riots were a distraction? You know, like, you know, and I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting to reframe those. That was the distraction from the theft going on. And I went, okay, got it. And so our job now is to pay attention to the distraction and then look around for the theft going on and say, no, no. And I kind of looked at the bus driver. He said, why didn't you take a picture? I said, I didn't know they were pickpockets. Why didn't you announce they were pickpockets?
Yeah.
But it was that moment of, oh, okay, there's a theft going on here. How do we, let's pay attention to it, right?
Ooh, hot dog, man. That's brilliant. Brilliant. That's exactly what did go on, and exactly what we have to be watchful as we move forward, because that's the tactic of it's a very Machiavellian tactic, but it's a good one. Is God distraction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to watch and say, Hans, slow down, watch and say, you know, you mean don't react right away. Just sort of, yeah, that's good. And someone mentioned that on one of the news pundits, political pundits mentioned that it's a lot of things that 45 has done is to create a distraction and look for an upcoming distraction because, you know,
right.
The more someone squeezes into a corner or trying to gain something in a short clip, the more they can try to distract you so they can get their games going, you know, so.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Very. Oh, that's excellent. A major gift from today's thing. Thank you, Anne. That was very good, that distraction. Because we have in our own lives things that distract us.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Totally.
My dear friend Adrian asked me, you know Adrian, Crystal, the CS.
Yeah, I love Adrian. Crystal Adrian. She's wonderful.
Yeah. And so I got some things from her recently, and she said, "Sis, have you played with your crystals recently? You know, lately, you know, since you got the new ones." I said, "No." I said, "I can't because I have a few things I need to get done, catch up on some homework and some other things. Because if I do, then you know that's a distraction for me. I'll play and work with my crystals while doing anything else."
Right.
And
right.
I'm sick to myself now. I know that. Yes. I said, "No. I see you guys, and you'll still be here when I'm ready to work with you. But I have to be an adult." And I need adult supervision. But Anne, we'll get together because we got to talk about how we can do ours in the future, so we can do ours either Zoom and get our YouTube channel going and stuff, right?
Yep, that's cool. Let's do it this week because we have that nice Venus Sun conjunction on the 8th.
Okay.
So let's schedule something Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll get that set up. So.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. I'll call you right back.
Perfect. Okay, good. Perfect. Okay. All right.
Cool. So we wish everybody a great week. This is Anne Ortley, the astrologer, signing off from Boca Ciega Bay, looking over at the sunlight and really beautiful, nice little breeze blowing with my iced coffee.
Oh, lovely. And Jim Adrasse Loss, who's just here in New York and still toughing it out, as us Capricorns typically do. We tough it out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I hear you. So.
And we stick on that mountain. So, okay, everyone, have a great week. And
we'll see you next week.
Yep. All right.
All right. That sounds good.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. Call me back, Anne.